Hello and good evening. This is 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com, a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers of our day, a show that's willing to consider the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything for a community utilizing synchronicity as a way to make sense of a strange and beautiful universe. Today is March 12, 2013, and this is episode number 75. I am Douglas Bowles, and tonight we are going to further explore the art of sync.
Indeed, and the different things you can do with sync with the other half of Riot Fish. This is Will Morgan, as always, and welcome. Tonight, for 42 minutes, we will be speaking with James Randall, the individual responsible for storyline development and scripting for Newspaper Comic Strip and its associated properties. That's the most elegant way to put it. Justin is the writing half of Riot Fish. And what is Riot Fish? Well, Riot Fish, of course, is a brilliant little website that is art, comics, and words on the internet, unquote, located at riotfish.com, where you can find and enjoy Newspaper Comic Strip in all its digital glory. Most recently, James collaborated with Justin on Transmissions from Neptune, a chapter in the Sync Book Volume 2. How are you, good sir?
Great.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm really happy that you joined us because it gave me an excuse to dive back into Newspaper Comic Strip some more.
I finished that thing. I read through that sucker. I'm telling you, I became obsessed with it for a while. I don't know if you did, Doug, but it's, you know, let me ask you real quick, how much of it is not out there yet? How much of it have you pretty much gotten written that's not there for viewing eyes?
I'm like one update ahead.
Right, really? Now. Is it that from the hip? Because, I mean, you guys have been doing this for a long. How long has it been start to finish to...
Oh, like since we had the idea and until now?
Mm-hmm.
Like mid-2006.
It's amazing.
Well, how long has it been you guys been popping out panels, is what I'm saying?
That'd be probably 2007 till now. But we took a break in a couple of places.
Yeah, and I wonder about on the website. It seems like the entries are in real time, and so depending on whatever project you're working on for that moment, you get a taste of something for a while. And so when Newspaper Comic Strip disappears for a while, it seems like you're developing some of the other properties to kind of play nice with Newspaper Comic Strip. But also, I mean, do you get tired of it and need to rest, or what's the story with the breaks?
Well, sometimes they're just life catching up, and I don't have time to get it out.
Yeah.
Well, Justin also wanted to do like The Sender and 1989, and we originally wanted to do like more comics. So we put in like random commercial parody to stagger it with the Newspaper Comic Strip updates.
Yeah, essentially you created your own newspaper comic section, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so could you briefly describe the concept behind Newspaper Comic Strip? I mean, I think everyone's pretty familiar, but just...
There's got to be people who don't know what it is, so you gotta lay it down.
I've had lots of trouble describing it. So
I can try. A guy wakes up to the fact that he's in a freaking newspaper comic.
Yeah. And he has no idea how he got there or what he's supposed to do. And
it's a mindfuck, dude. Like, going through the whole thing, because you start wondering about all of the different... I mean, essentially, like, he's paranoid, so he uses thought bubbles until he figures out.
Those are the best parts when he gets conspiratorial. I just laugh out loud.
Well, that's what he's known for. Like, the other characters around him in the comic book are, like, looking at him saying, like, you're being conspiratorial, just like Guy is. Do you know what I mean? Is he newspaper comic guy?
Yeah.
Does he have a name?
Oh,
Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably Guy.
Well, I think it's Robert. He reminds me a lot of my brother-in-law.
Whatever his name is, it'll be a surprise to him.
Yeah. It would. It seems like he's coming to everything. There's a touch of Memento in there where he's trying to figure out what's going on, but like it seems like both those fictions do such a good job of like metaphysically describing the mystery.
Right.
And I love his wife.
I love the fact that he has a wife and that she was a surprise to him.
Right. How did I get here? How did I get this beautiful wife? This is not my house.
It leads you down this thought because, like, when he visits his own house in the comic strip, it's not exactly his house. So then you're like, well, how many freaking of him are there out there? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a joke, but you're dealing with some, like, heavy shit. It's classic. But do you write Riot Fish for him as well? Like, the one that you guys have that is kind of this is going to lead into the work that you guys have done with the Sync Book 2. But Riot Fish, the actual, like, little homeless fish-looking character that you guys have.
Yeah.
Is that all Justin, or is that you?
It's Justin's idea, but it's sort of... I work with it too.
Okay, so this one that has the chemtrails that are, it's called Gone Fish and Happy Trails. See, it's a fish's view of chemtrails, like the boat trails that are on the surface of the water. But he's talking about them like they're chemtrails, like it's a paranoid, you know, conspiracy theory that most of us have, seeing chemtrails in the sky.
Yeah.
So this is, leads me to the political. I mean, next week we're going to talk to an individual who started out in journalism and uses, I guess, what you could call art or pop culture to express his opinion at the contemporary political science. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And what you guys have done in the Sync Book 2 is created this almost interpretation of Sync, right? But you're relaying messages of a current political situation or with the Fukushima and everything.
Yeah.
Well, I notice if we're talking about transmissions from Neptune, your piece in the Sync Book 2, which came out this past... No, that was 2012. And it's beautiful in the book, by the way. I love the way the pages open, you know, and there's this continuity from page to page is wonderful. But I noticed that the interesting thing to me is that you do... The kernel that you begin with is 9/11. Was that just something that happened, or did you intentionally know that this is like an important sync node nexus?
Oh yeah, I knew that there was a lot of 9/11 in Sync Book 1. That's the idea behind it. It's kind of complicated.
And then what Will's getting at is that the multi-threads that are running simultaneously, I mean, I think this is a good example.
With the connections that you make with Noam Chomsky, I'm wondering if you're trying to be a journalist in your own right, because you're kind of you're force feeding the current event. You're using these symbols that I can understand your point of view about the situation a little bit better. I mean, you mix in the whole scene from It where the little girl gets the blood on her face from the pop balloon in the sink.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you're showing the dad not see the blood on her cheeks. You're mentioning in true comic style, like in the little bubbles in the corner, information about the Fukushima contamination. What's the Fukushima contamination to the nothing, though?
Oh, the language the nuclear obfuscators use.
So the nothing is the Noam Chomsky, like, manufacturing of consent through linguistic programming.
Yeah. Like they don't like the people. You don't hear about the contamination on the news. You hear that Fukushima's safe now,
or you just don't even hear about it at all.
Okay, but yeah. So let's take this a different direction too, because this is one of the things that's maddening to me a little bit with like hardcore Gnostic types. So you're Robert running around a newspaper comic strip. He doubts the reality of his reality. You know, is this a real thing? And he, you know, as archways are appearing and disappearing, he really doesn't believe that it's like his reality is so thin. But some people think the same of our, you know, and this is the thing that I go back and forth on is, are these great stories that you're creating, is it a metaphor? Or is there some truth to this, like there was a movie that we just watched, it's like Level 13 or something, where, you know, it's the Matrix again, where you find out that, you know, that dark-haired woman comes to Philip K. Dick and says, your reality's a lie. What do you make of that as a writer?
Well, if Robert was... presumptive evidence that it wasn't real.
You don't have to call him Robert.
You bring up an interesting point. I mean, you're basically, you can friggin' reflect whatever you want to in newspaper comic strips.
It would make no difference to him. Like, he would seem just as fake as the role he's in right now. He can't tell either.
Like I heard you say once before that when you have to write for him, you have to get into his frame of thinking, like how he would think.
Yeah. I act it out sometimes.
Well, what else do you write? I mean, is this something that takes up a large amount of your time? Like you said, you just want to do more comics, right? But there's a time constraint, but what else are you working on?
Well, also working on these, have you seen Ripley's Believe It or Not cartoons?
Yeah.
Trying to make, like, a bunch of...
like, fake ones? Like,
yeah.
Obscene, yeah. Like, out-of-control ones?
Yeah, they'd have, like radical history in them instead of, like, pointless trivia or weird oddities in it.
So, your radical history?
Yeah.
And so you're like, no, I love what you do because you
no,
take...
No, it's the same thing he's doing with
right.
Neptunes.
You take like this bubble gum and then adding all history. Kinds of substance to it. It's like the truth is going to be found in the trash.
Well, I got more questions, though. I mean, I understand, okay, the nothing... The nothing is the killing of the imagination through the media programming, right? Kind of,
yeah.
I can say that.
Yeah.
All right. It's funny because the he's the operative, basically, the wolf creature of the nothing, the guy who works for the nothing. And I meant this whole CIA concept is very interesting to me. So is that you who saw that? Like, I heard one of you guys mention the whole the wolf for is like this. He even lives in Spook City or whatnot.
Oh yeah, that's Justin who noticed that. He read the book and I saw the movie.
Oh, the book is wonderful.
Yeah, I got to read that.
But it deals with the same thing. I mean, I thought about that a lot earlier when I was reading that there's a common theme in the never-ending story in the comic book strip, the newspaper comic book strip, because it is the never-ending story. Mm. He realizes that he's within the story just like the characters do within the book. I mean, in the book, Sebastian actually goes into the book, and then there's a lot of things that happen throughout the progression of the story where they literally go to the edge of the page and look out into the room that's above them, because he's in the book. He knows he's in the book. So then he starts waking up the other characters, and he starts authorizing the book.
Wow.
So what were you saying? I'm sorry?
Well, that's something like that's happening in newspaper comics right now.
Right, because he's going to see the cartoonist. He's going to go see the...
Yeah.
But, you know, this past summer we talked to Dr. Jeffrey Kripal, and in his book Mutants and Mystics, that's his thesis, that this is a really, really common occurrence. It's like a mythological motif now where you have the characters realize that they're characters in a story, and then they break out, they authorize their own story. They break out. Which is fascinating, because I think at the beginning of next month, I mean, we're going to be talking to someone, I think, Victoria Nelson, who, you know, that's her shtick, which is the divinity in humans, where it's Nietzsche's Superman kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's just that this work fascinates me with the...
Well, it's a common theme it's increasing in our society more and more. I mean, you have movies like Stranger Than Fiction, Inkheart, Bedtime Stories, and the list goes on and on. So it's becoming a meme that is it's got a strong symbolic pull to our generation. I mean, Noam Chomsky and people like Korzybski of General Semantics and stuff like that will tell you that our whole reality is based off of language, like the words on a page in the never-ending story.
Well, that's funny, because as I was doing, like, when you do notes for the show, you end up thinking about the word logos, you know, the word of God or the principle of divine reason, because that's so important in newspaper comic strip.
Yeah.
But for some reason, my notes for this show, or, you know, when we talk to Justin, I've got some things written down about logos, and then there's a Terrence McKenna quote that says, language is on a journey. You know, so, like, that's what's happening, Will. Reality is based on the evolution of language.
Right, and of course, in newspaper comic strip, that's what he's always trying to follow, is the logo.
Right. And it's hilarious.
It's absolutely a riot.
Mm-hmm.
I think about your, I mean, James, how much are you reliant on your development for this 1980s pop culture?
Do you mean like in transmission from Neptune?
Well, period. I mean, it seems like newspaper comic book strip is like a representation of what the dailies would look like in just your average American newspaper. Mm. I mean, you guys reproduce different styles and stuff when the guy actually ventures outside of his. You can recognize these comics. Do you know what I mean? I read comics, not daily, but I read comics. And all of these comics that you have recreated in newspaper comic strip are things that I recognize. I mean, how intentional is that? If you're doing this, like, just this is natural. I mean, you have to be a student of pop culture and comic books and newspaper strips and so forth.
Oh yeah, we like made amalgams of like existing strips and then changed them so that it would be more entertaining to us to.
Yeah, it's a satire.
Yeah.
But then some of the things you invoke, like Ski Patrol 2 towards the beginning. It's like, I wonder, this has to mean something, right? It has to. Tom Cruise, there's a chunk that's just heavy, heavy Tom Cruise. The fact that there's a lot of card playing, specifically Hold'em, it seems like one of you guys must have been into Hold'em at some point in time.
Oh, that was random. That was the... Like, I recorded these TV segments so I'd have something to see on the TV. And that's what came out on the channel switching.
What, Ski Patrol?
Have you ever played Texas Hold'em? It was a fad about 2006, 2007, which is kind of, well...
Everybody was playing poker?
Yeah.
You're just straight up ask him if he's a poker player, homie.
He said no.
Yeah, not really. That was like recorded off a TV show. There was like people playing poker in a
That's awesome.
Like those hands really happened somewhere in a casino somewhere.
So what can we expect to see coming out of a newspaper comic strip come soon? I mean, he's already ventured into Four Legs Good, and he's already met the cartoonist. I mean, what the hell could he do from here?
Well,
dum dum dum! I stumped you, man. Ultimate question.
Well, that's an idea. Do you see an end point, or is it... It just goes.
The never-ending story.
Well, I have make many endings, but they're sort of more like escape hatches. Really acceptable places to stop. But right? He's about to learn many, many strange things that...
He can do and about his world.
Yeah, like... Actually, he knows a lot right now. He doesn't realize it yet. Because he's still trying to...
You know what's... Do you ever get a little paranoid, though, and think that you're talking about yourself? Or, oh my god, this is me. I'm this guy.
Oh, yeah, sort of. He's... Never really thought of myself as trapped in a comic strip.
But
we're here to let you know that you are, homie.
No, isn't
we're just random characters
like
in another
TV comic show
trip.
Or a bad movie? It's like you lean over to your friend. Oh, this is when the music would start right here. We're having our touching buddy moment.
No, you're just getting messages from a bad radio show. That's all. We're a bad radio show here to tell you that you're in a bad comic. And even a comic you don't even like.
Oh.
That's pretty much what's happened to this clown, right? I mean, he doesn't even know. But was I right about the alternate realities? Is he kind of like... Yeah, how many different versions of him will he meet?
Well, there's an explanation for why there's another guy in a house just like his in that suburb he found. he's about to find out what it is. I don't know if I should be explaining the feature of the comic.
Oh, god damn it.
No, that's... I like
just
that.
Just a fan trying to ply it out of you, man. That's all. Fuck.
And David Lynch doesn't ever talk about the meaning of his work. Like, he doesn't ever... And it's maddening, but I think I can respect that on some level.
Well, it's just an open meaning. I assume sooner or later you get down to the point where we on this show are just talking about the obvious. I mean, of course, everything has to do with story. Of course it does. It makes complete sense when you think about it. Like I said, it's just interesting that, I mean, you were inspired to write such similar tales and everything. There's like a theme that it seems that you are getting across. I would say intending, but I don't necessarily think that you're intending to make some of the connections that you're making, at least on a subliminal level.
That's a good question. So as an artist, you know, how much is intuition guiding you and how much is, you know, like, plotted, say?
We see our concept as almost entirely intuition, but there is a... I am sort of giving them stuff to find out, and like, stuff seems to line up pretty well, and it's written in real time, which makes it really difficult to pace. Like, everything I do has to be what happens, because we can't change it once we put an update out, because it would mean changing so many panels.
Right. Well, it's the same thing. That's how a comic book works, though.
But here's what's
anybody
interesting.
Who's collected, if you collect a serial comic book, what happens, happens.
Yeah.
Once you, like, put it out on the web, you're saying it's kind of like, that's it.
Right? There's something about juxtapositions with you guys. And, like, this is this idea that... So the newspaper comic strip, these are... You know, if you were actually taking it in as it was intended, it would be one a week. So that's a real specific kind of pacing. But we live in this instant internet society where you go to Netflix and you watch a whole season of whatever, like in 3 days. So the pacing is totally different. And when I'm reading newspaper comic strip, it is like bang, bang. You're just going, you know, you're flowing through it like it's... It's a linear narrative instead of, you know, these little panels where you would actually have breaks of time. But that has taken you...
Actually,
go ahead.
I'm actually glad to hear that, because I was trying to... Sometimes the format can trap you, and I was trying to break it, like make it completely irrelevant. So, like, it's all one story. It's just a newspaper's publishing schedule is... Like, it's completely irrelevant to him because he goes through... There's no change between a daily and a Sunday, well, except for the color.
Yeah. The other interesting, like, structural thing that I find, like, the metaphysical thing that he's exploring is the notion of time. You know, as creatures, we do the same thing, but like, he really is trying to understand his relationship to time, because it seems like there's the time he experiences and then this imposed structural time that has to do with this weird form that he's in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from a metaphysical, like, exploring the mystery kind of standpoint, it's wonderful, because it's just, everything is a mystery. It's like, well, this is screwy. And so when I read things, I go sometimes faster than I can keep details in my head. And so as far as time goes, I just kind of let go. It's like, I'm not even counting. I don't even know if the Sundays are coming when they're supposed to.
Oh, good.
Did you? Are they coming every, like, seventh panel, or?
Yeah, they're. We have it lined up, like, there's six dailies and then one Sunday, like, clockwork. We've actually tried to line it up with an actual calendar. Like, one reader found out that we had an extra day in September, so we have, like.
We need to have that guy on the show.
Who is PM Stefan?
That's PM Stefan. He's the cartoonist of Four Legs Good. It's kind of an amalgam. Like, For Legs Good is an amalgam of Minimum Security by Stephanie McMillan and Pearls Before Swine by Stephen Passis. I don't know if you're familiar with those comics.
No. And you guys are giving this away for free.
That's the weird thing. That's a lot of work for no return because of the way the internet has changed the whole schematic of this. You guys don't even offer a donation button or the option to donate.
I didn't hear most of that.
Well, so we're just wondering about how you guys get compensated for this wonderful work.
Oh, well. Set up any way to be compensated for it. If we were just going to try to do something like a subscriber stream thing once. But I'm just making even more comics.
So yeah, I think that it will be okay. It just happens occasionally. We don't have very much time left to go. But in case you're joining us just now, or you've managed to stick with us this long, you're listening to 42 minutes as we talk to James Randall about his piece "Transmission from Neptune" and the Sync Book 2. How was that? Did everybody hear that just fine?
Yep.
So, like, yeah, like we were talking earlier about how much you guys use and pull out of pop culture. Cheech and Chong is in the piece. You have It in the piece, or Stephen King's It. You have
Was that intentional
the NeverEnding Story?
Did you purposely set out to do like a sync strip for the sync book?
I didn't buy synchronicity a lot, but I had all that stuff brewing in my head before, but the It scene sort of suggested itself randomly when I was working on it. And stuff sort of lined up in ways we weren't anticipating when we were playing the comic up. If I didn't know there's actually a dark spot found on Neptune when the Voyager 2 probe passed by, and it lined up with the nothing growing.
Right. So it pretty much was synchronicity that led to the what Doug's asking is if you intentionally made this to look like it's a sync piece because you're using all these different different stories, things that don't make any sense together, such as Stephen King's It and
this guy's a sync head, that's what it is.
Right, but you're saying that it wasn't very much thought put into it about that you kind of just whatever was coming your way you dropped in as you were going.
Yeah.
Do you work that way, Will, when you're doing a post?
It depends. Like, I try to do all my posts and all my videos different ways. Like, that's the whole point. But I find it interesting because that's not what I got out of it. By reading the piece, I assume that you were intentionally trying
to
make a sync piece. Like, you were trying to tell a story with different aspects of other stories. But you're saying it's just kind of like one thing led to another.
You even start on the first page with kind of leaves and vines and stuff, and so it does feel like the panels are kind of
organic.
But they're part of the same whole. You've got the frames,
part of the same vine,
right? The leaves on the vine, that all the stories are connected.
Yeah, there's actually sort of logic between the way they're sort of intercut throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how obvious some of them line up when I look at it now.
Well, I definitely think that like a new genre is developing. There was an article in the New York Times book review of books, and the guy was trying to say that it's like trans lit, but it's sync. It's like you have several narratives running simultaneously, but you're processing all of them not separately but together like a tapestry. And it's like, oh, that's sync. That's the genre. And this is definitely, you know, an exemplar, a beautiful exemplar of, you know, sync narrative, which is what newspaper comic strip does too, especially if you read it with all the other things going on.
Sooner or later, you guys are going to get crazy and venture into like the real news part of the paper. Like he's going to wind up in a picture of like the mayor or something, and or like a protest that was on Capitol lawn, and he'll be in the crowd. And if you steal any of those ideas right there, you better give it away for free. That's all I'm saying.
No.
Okay, now what was I was talking about was Scott McCloud, like because he deals a lot with the space and the time movement between panels and stuff of that nature. So mm-hmm. Your work makes me think of that. I mean, is that something you set out to do? Did you use Scott McCloud as kind of like a template for that understanding, or was this more of a just it reminded you of it too?
Well, there's definitely one part in there I'm thinking of right now about how time works through a panel. It's like there's this scene, Understanding Comics, and it's illustrating how much time a panel can take up just by where the border falls or where the word balloons move across the page.
Right.
And the newspaper comic strip guy deals with that all the time.
And it gives me a headache to think about him moving through time when he jumps panels.
Yeah.
And how it plays with his head when he tries to read other panels, the farther they get away from him. Do you know what I mean? Like when he's in the last panel of his comic, it's hard for him to read the other panel because he's further away from it.
Yeah.
Is there any time, I mean, is he kind of gaining superpowers here in a way, though?
Yes. He's quite an advanced awareness of the new sort of comic strip page that he doesn't even realize how powerful that is.
Yeah, I still think you're talking about me.
Fucking Douglas. In a way, it's talking about everybody, though. That's what kind of opens my... That's why I became addicted to it, reading the comic. But I've become addicted to comics often. Like sometimes I just have to read a whole line of comic books because there is a start and there is a finish. And it's just like one's life, right? You kind of have a hard time turning off the tape if you really like the movie playing. Mm. Sometimes you just have to leave Ski Patrol in the machine.
It's Ski Patrol 2.
I don't know if there really is a Ski Patrol 2. It might be a clue that this world's a forgery.
And that, you said it again, the world's a forgery. Because there's like this Gnostic belief that we have a false god who created a bad world, and that our job is to get out of this false world.
Yes, James, are you a bad god?
I only know Belis with Gnosticism.
The question still remains, are you a bad creator? Are you going to do good by comic book strip guy?
I don't know. Would the bad god know he was the bad god?
Or are you going to do something bad to this?
I think the bad god doesn't know that he's a bad god is the point. He thinks he's a good god.
Or he thinks he's just playing. and whatever his decision is doesn't really matter. See, in Gnostic belief, usually the god is considered to be a child. He doesn't even know any better. It's like a kid or a boy, like zapping ants with a magnifying glass. It's weird because you're dealing with this whole death concept in the newspaper comic strip. What is the death? The end of the comic book? Like, he gets anxiety because he doesn't have a punchline in the third panel.
Hmm. If we're a newspaper comic strip guy and we're also creating a newspaper comic strip, who's the creator?
Well, that's a good question, because is it the cartoonist, is it the reader, or is it the actual character in the story?
I'm also thinking about how, like, the act of reading it is, what gives it life. Because if no one reads it, it's just, like, lines on a page that don't make any sense.
So the meaning is inserted by the reader.
Yeah. But they also, it's weird that we just accept that he knows he's in a newspaper comic strip. On like the first update. And the rest of the story flows from, if he knows that, then this must be true too.
It's funny because today's movie night for me. My Jason Barrera comes over on Tuesdays, and we watch a movie. But tonight, he's been wanting to watch Monsters and Mazes. Do you know that film, James?
Yes.
He says yes quick. He doesn't even ask you to describe it.
It's Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Do you play D&D?
A little bit.
How old are you?
I'm 35.
That's right. He's the same age as I am. How old are you? How old is your child?
He's 14 months.
And that's your first child?
Yeah.
And are you married, sir?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to put this information on the internet. You're aware of this, right?
It's already on Facebook.
It's already on Facebook. Yeah. It's like the world already knows. What if you wake up on Facebook? It's like we're not in a comic book strip. We're just going to wake up to the fact that we're just on Facebook. That's Waco.
We've done like about definitely more than 42 minutes, Will.
Well, that's good. Let's do just a little bit more, and then I'll just edit it out, because I have Justin's. And so my initial...
Oh, your intention.
Right, is to green room both of them together. See? Because I'm badass. I'm sorry, James. We're in rare form tonight. This is kind of an unusual show for us, but I'd like to thank you very much for being here with us tonight, because it has been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks.
Thank you. You've been listening to 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com. For more information about the SyncBook, our guests, to check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at thesyncbook.com/42 minutes. Thank you, and have a wonderful Tuesday.